Hi, welcome back to That Doesn't Happen Every Day, in which we interview everyday people about things that don't normally happen every day. In this episode, we hear from Daryl Murphy, who had an uncommon but incredibly frightening experience with something in the wilds of Wyoming. Daryl takes us back to 1960, when he was only 12 years old.
Well, we were camped for the summer up on Pine Mountain, which is a pretty desolate place in the middle of nowhere.
By the way, when someone from Wyoming tells you that something happened in the middle of nowhere, they mean they were very far away from everything, including a hospital.
This was early June, and I was out of school so I could be up there. And I just went with my grandmother walking down across the sagebrush. And at one point, my grandmother said, "It's too early for snakes to be out." And literally minutes after that, I felt a sting on my foot, and I looked down and saw a rattlesnake moving away and heard a bit of a rattle, and I realized that I had been bitten by a rattlesnake. It's a fairly sharp sting, probably not quite as painful as a bee sting, but you sure recognize it. And then pretty much immediately it starts causing more pain, and the swelling starts pretty much immediately. I screamed in terror and went running madly back up the hill toward the trailer, my grandmother following after me. When I got there, my grandmother, as it happens, knew exactly what the first aid for a rattlesnake bite was. At that time, the first aid was to cut around the bite and try to suck out the poison. My grandfather apparently had sores in his mouth, and so he was worried about getting poisoned. So my grandmother did the work, and I don't know how much it helped, but it made me feel a lot better. At any rate, as soon as she had done that, she bandaged it up as best she could, and we headed down the mountain to the nearest hospital, which was probably at least 70 miles away. And I remember vaguely the ride down the mountain. It was slow and rough, and we went as fast as we could, but it's a bad road. I was convinced that I was going to die. I felt kind of delirious, and it was a severe pain, pretty localized to my foot, but I sort of felt it spreading throughout my foot. I did not throw up. I did have a fever by the time I got to the hospital. My grandmother, I don't know if she was actually panicking. She was always good about remaining calm and doing whatever was necessary. We got to a place called Natrona, which is a town west of Casper. At the time, there was a store there that was open. And we stopped there, and they called the hospital and told them I was coming and arranged for a highway patrol escort. Happened there was a nurse there also who was able to do some additional first aid before we went on our way. And so as soon as that was done, we headed out on the highway. And as we got near to Casper, we picked up the highway patrol escort and zoomed into Casper. We got to Natrona County Memorial Hospital and pulled into the emergency room. And they hauled me into the emergency room. My doctor was already there, and he was ready to inject me with antivenin. As it happens, they had some right there handy. As I recall, the injections with the antivenin were the most painful part of the whole experience, but they were obviously important in me recovering from the rattlesnake bite. So they did the injections and took me up to a bed in the hospital, where I remained for about 3 days. It was uncomfortable. My leg had to be elevated and was very swollen. And after 3 days, I was discharged and went home with my grandmother.
The predicament that Daryl found himself in after being bitten by a snake, I think, is a little bit underappreciated. Many kids now would be happy if they never went outside, but in 1960, in a rural part of Wyoming, you really didn't have a lot of other ways to entertain yourself other than by going outside. Even today, Wyoming is the least populated state in the Union and has fewer people per square mile than any other state except for Alaska. That means every time Daryl walked outside, he was surrounded by places where something as small and sneaky as a snake could be. This was also in a time when everyone was probably just thankful Daryl was still alive, and there wasn't a lot in the way of counseling or help for someone who had just been through something very traumatic. My heart goes out to this kid who had to make some decisions about what he was going to do, living in a place that was full of open spaces, all of which might be hiding another snake. Daryl describes what it was like going back outside after being bitten by the rattlesnake.
It felt frightening, and it felt like I had to be really slow when I walked. I'd carry a stick with me to check the brush, sagebrush and grass and everything, to make sure there wasn't anything hiding there. Of course, I'd never reach into a hole. The next time I saw a rattlesnake after that was out on my uncle's ranch. But that was frightening. It was terrifying. Even then, even after I thought I had recovered, you know, it was too soon after the bite. I had not really recovered. As a child, I was a voracious reader. So my response to the fear that came with all that experience was to find out everything I could about rattlesnakes. So I went to the library and managed to check out a book, a very large book about rattlesnakes, and read it from cover to cover. And that actually did help with a great deal of the fear I had of going outdoors at all. My whole general attitude towards things in general is the more you learn about something, the more understanding you have about something, the more rational you can be about it. So basically, it's not very likely that anyone's going to get bit by a rattlesnake, especially if they're reasonably careful. Well, I learned a lot about their habits and their habitat, and I learned a lot about their behavior in general, which humans are not prey, and they use their venom primarily for prey, although they will use them for defense as well. Frequently, when they bite, they don't inject any venom. That's not unusual. And even when they do, by and large, most healthy adults are not likely to die even if untreated, although I would certainly suspect everyone who gets bitten should go to the hospital immediately. But they're not looking to hunt humans, and they're not looking to chase humans. Their natural reaction when they see humans is to run away, well, slide away. And once I learned that and fully brought that into my consciousness, it helped a great deal. So that's typically how I'm going to deal with things that concern me or frighten me. I'm going to learn as much as I can about them, and that will help alleviate any fear that I have.
Why did that snake bite you, you think?
I stepped on him. I can't say as I blame him for that. I've never eaten rattlesnake meat, and I'm not sure I'd want to. So that isn't something that appeals to me. To this day, though, I'm still probably a bit more alert when I go out hiking somewhere than most other people are, even though it's not such fear-inducing as it was once. The other weird thing that happened is that people jokingly kept coming up to me and ask, "Is the snake dead?"
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, every year about 8,000 people in the U.S. are bit by venomous snakes. This is not just rattlesnakes. However, according to them, at the most, only about 15 of those 8,000 people actually die. Which should make me feel better about snakes, but I'm still terrified of them. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're very thankful for Daryl being willing to share his story. We're very thankful that he is doing well, and I hope that you'll tune in next week for our next story. Thanks.